So today we're going to be starting a series on understanding man, right? It's a series because I'm also happy to see you didn't come last week, but today you came. It's a series on understanding man. Essentially, we're going to be talking about what man is. Right? I definitely know we can't finish today, so I won't force it. It might take us maybe like 3-4 weeks to finish. And then essentially we're going to be understanding who or what man is, what makes up man, so that we can have a proper understanding of who we are, and then also understand how to flourish as man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to who led prayer today? Deji. Thank you to Deji. Who gave the word? I saw that. I'm sorry. Who read the Bible? Ife. Okay. Thank you. And obviously, thank you to Light Army. Is that why people will not clap? All right, let's say a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We give you praise. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask, O Lord, for your presence in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, for utterance. I ask that your word shall breathe life into us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Can you shout one powerful hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
All right, good. Where is Christabel? Okay. You're different. You did a different hair. As I didn't. All right. Has anybody bought your beads? Just one person. Okay. People should buy beads from Christabel. Yeah, just as an aside, the reason why I'm saying so is that, you remember I told you guys, because some of you might not have been around last week, I was saying that everyone here should, before you turn 18, make it a goal to have your business, to have at least one business that you started. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't care, even if he's selling akara. Okay? Even if he's selling akara. Even if you are in university, okay, still think of something that you can do as a... Huh? Okay. 1 hour. Even if you are... I guess, hear me? Yeah. Even if you are... in university or otherwise, you know, think of something. If you're in university, obviously, you need to think deeper, okay? Because you need to think of something that will still align with your schedule. But you really, really need to think of something. Amen.
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 And I need to tell you, so that in your prayer, God can inspire you in this order. If God then says, is to be preaching, you know, if God says, I only want you to focus on ministry, hey, at least God shall tell you. Are we together? But don't assume, you know, because I want your minds to be active and at work. That's the only way you can keep yourself safe in this current world. You have to be idle. It's a mistake, especially if you're at that phase of, where's Habakkuk? Is Habakkuk around? Especially if you're at that phase of you're not yet in university, you know. You have no reason to be sad. Amen. That's 2006. You know, that's my era. When you feel jump, you feel like your life has finished. Are we together? Now if you feel jump, you should even be happy. I have more time to focus on the things that will advance me in life. Amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. This one is not pep talk. I'm telling you the truth. Anybody that is sad, anybody that you see that is, I feel jammed, the person is an unserious or ill-informed person. Are we together? Huh? Right now, you should even be happy, you get, that I have the time to focus on things that are going to make me add value to this world. So, and there are many things, you know. There's, what's the thing that Tayotin is doing, desk, bro, if, you understand? Are we together? Yeah. So, nobody should feel, it's not a prayer point, it's in my tongue, there used to be a testimony, you know, where you carry, you know, some people will go to camp. I imagine you go to camp and give testimony that UNILAG finally gave admission. Ah, amen. I guess, hear me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I want you to be business minded and business oriented, right? So begin to think, begin to expand your mind. And I told you how to do that. Let me just say this for those that were not around last week. You need to take in information, information that is out there. Are we together? That's the way to build your mind. That's the simple way to build your mind, to not be ignorant. Huh? With this fire that you have, don't worry. If you see something that Satan is working on, the Holy Spirit will tell you, stop watching this thing. Are we together?
Sure.
Me, I trust the Holy Spirit. So you said you should trust the Holy Spirit. You're not stupid people. Anybody here that reads book and runs mad, you have always been mad. It just manifested. You understand? There's nobody... You have sense. You should have sense as a human being. Are we together? You understand? So, you need to search for information. Listen to unbelievers. Are we together? Let me tell you something there. If a fake man of God is into Forex, and me, I'm into Forex, even though I know he's a fake man of God, if he starts doing a podcast on... This is how I built my Forex empire. But I'll listen. Are we together?
Yes,
I will listen. 2 a.m. I will listen for Forex tips. When it now comes to man of God, and I say, this one is a fake man of God. Are we together?
Yes,
yeah. So we'll be looking at understanding man. Can we say understanding man? Let me lay a bit of foundation. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verse 5. I just want to show you something. We're gearing towards November. November, we're going to have like a, whether the people are around or not, because I know a lot of people have left school. But I want us to have like a... I don't even know what I can call it. Is it graduation? I don't know. I just want us to send for people officially. They won't be coming to church again because they're now old. So it's not time to go and marry and look for husband. Amen. I'm joking. No, it's not by force to marry. Yeah. All right. He says here, but also for this very reason, Peter is saying here, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue. Can we read from verse 1, just so that it's, you know, it's not that I'm just picking up a scripture from the middle. Simon Peter, a born servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Hold on. Now, you know, let's go to verse 3. This is not my teaching, but I just want to just point out something that, you know, when you're reading your Bible, you have to, you know, You have to be very careful, but careful is not really the word I'm trying to put, but you just have to be a sensible person and not someone whose mind is given to extremes. Are we together? Now, when you read this thing, he says here that his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Abi? Now, if you are to say now that as I am here like this now, I have all things that pertain to life and godliness, you are a potentially heretic mind. Eh? Because what he says here is that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Abi? Abi now? Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what he says is that through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I have access to all things. Amen. So if I increase in my knowledge of Jesus Christ, I increase in the spiritual capacities, or I increase in spiritual life and godliness. Abi? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So you can't just come and say now that I have all things. As I am like this, I have all things. When in your mind, you know you don't have all things. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So when you read your Bible, you have to have a very, very balanced mind. You know, don't be too excited with revelation. Are we together? Huh? Spiritual truths are not... when you're excited with something, and especially when you see that there's a scripture that is seemingly counteracting or that is seemingly contrary to the thing that you are saying, don't continue in the excitement. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? If you read the Bible, you understand what I'm talking about. Okay? Let's go to verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Hallelujah. So, Peter here is saying that because of all this life that I'm talking about, all this life that we have access in the spirits, and all the blessed things that God has done for us, you need to understand that there is a step-by-step process on how to get there. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? He goes on to add other things to this block. But I just want to focus on the knowledge aspect that he's talking about. He says, add to your faith. What's he talking about? What's the faith he's talking about? He's just talking about your salvation. Eh? The initial belief in God that you have. That's, I am saved. You know, I want to follow Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? That initial faith that we all have. For you to become a sound Christian, there are things that... or there are stages that you need to journey to. So that thing is not enough. That initial fire and zeal for God is not enough. You know, I've been a Christian for a while, and I've noticed that people that tend to have spectacular salvation experiences are not exempt from backsliding. In fact, they could even be the ones that backslide the most. Or backslide in a very intensive way. Eh? I've seen people that angel is the one that got them saved. You know, not man. You know, that it exists. I don't know why. Because it's like it's unfair. You know, but it exists. You know, because I don't know human being that was an angel. And you know, some people, Jesus actually appears. Like Paul, for instance, Jesus appeared to Paul. You know. You know, it's unfair now. You know, in a way, it could seem, because, you know, from the appearance, you know, the very first thing he said was Lord. You know, there's no other issue again. You know, it's Lord. It's now Are you killing me? Are you not killing me? All this kind of thing. Right? So, but I've seen that spectacular experience that Paul had. It doesn't mean he can't backslide, though. Are we together? Huh? So that's why he said we shouldn't be intimidated when someone says that on the third day. Amen. Huh? Are we together? You can have, you as you are boring like this, you can have a richer experience with the Lord as someone that sees angels all the time. You know. In fact, I've seen someone that said that, you know, it's just that we were teenagers then, so we didn't understand. But this person used to say that they used to see angels constantly. In my foolishness, I thought that it was true. I didn't know that this was completely lying. You know. Are we together? You know, the person be saying that as I'm here like this now, you know, an angel can just be playing ball with me. You know. You know. I used to think that it was wow, you know. I didn't know that it's mental illness or that the person is having. Are we together? Huh? I've seen someone read book. You know, there's someone that claimed that, you people don't know this, but there's someone that claimed that I'm the one that got them mad. You know, but the person read book and started turning into false, you know, started turning into fake prophets. And I was organizing a mini lesson then for some people that needed to enter into university. This guy came around mad, though, and I said that I'm the one that is my lesson that, you know, I made the person run mad, you know. So I've seen a lot of these things, and, you know, it is very, very important that you, as Peter says here, for instance, he says, add to your feet virtue. Now, what's virtue talking about? He's talking about morality. Can we say morality? Yeah, morality. That's the English way I can talk about it. You need to add to that initial zeal, that zeal for God that you have. You need to grow in morality, in your sense of what is right and wrong. Hallelujah. If you don't have a high level of morality, you will destroy yourself. Are we together? A Christian should be different. You know, as you guys were talking about when you went to university, and people need to say that you are abnormal, even though you are the one that is perfectly normal. But you need to live a life where if you are in the midst of darkness, you need to have a morality that's can stand out. Hallelujah. But even that virtue isn't enough. You also need to add knowledge. Can we say knowledge?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, you know. Now, I don't want to go into Greek and Hebrew, but the word here is G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis, or I don't know, you know, that's not, you know. Now, what that word means is, are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Now, what that word means is knowledge of two kinds. The first is knowledge of God, God and his ways. The second is also knowledge on how you should live, you know, understanding how to conduct yourself, you know, as a Christian. But essentially, it's knowledge of God, knowledge of ways, or spiritual knowledge, you know, knowing Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, knowing your Bible, knowing teachings, understanding faith. That's why we teach. Are we together? Eh? Are we together? That's why we teach. One of the major reasons why we teach is so that the believer can get knowledge, get the knowledge of God. Is that knowledge of God that you use to execute God's will on the earth? So if a believer lacks knowledge, his faith is going to be lacking. So I said all of this to just say that as a Christian, you need to have knowledge. Are we together? Emotion is not enough, okay? You can't just walk with God on the basis of, I love Jesus. It's not, that's not how God created the human being. Are we together? Are we together? If you're with me, shout hallelujah. So don't be too angry because, you know, at times when you're a firebrand person, you know, you might see maybe some people that have maybe it's just teaching. You know, that thing is like, you know, light up this thing now. Amen. Are we together? You should have an appreciation for the acquiring of knowledge. Especially because knowledge is not necessarily exciting, you know. Amen. Knowledge at times is not exciting. Some knowledge is exciting, and some people package things to excite you, but not everything is packaged to excite you. You know, some knowledge will make you sleep. Have you not? Or maybe I'm looking forward to our next video. You know. Yeah, you know. For those of you that are not looking forward to it, you should look forward to it, so that you know, so that you say we can experience sleeping in the presence of God. You know, where you think you love the Word of God until you know, until it starts. You know, that's when you notice that your flesh is very, very heavy. Amen. You know, so knowledge can be very, it's not all exciting, you know. And we'll look at this eventually when we get to the soul. All right, so let us go to Psalm 8. I'm still laying foundation though, this is where. 8 says, well, you know, before I used to be very, very good at like 14 minutes message. I don't know what has happened in this church. You know, Papi has scattered my talents. Psalm 8 from verse 3. When I consider your heavens, oh, let's start from verse 1. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who have set your glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? So this question, that's what is man that you are mindful of him, it's coming as a result of thinking about the entire work of God. Are we together? Meaning, I don't know if it's David that wrote this psalm, I'm guessing. But meaning, when he was writing it or when he was contemplating it, he was in a state of meditation. And he was like looking at all the works of God. He was looking at the heavens, the stars, the angels, everything, you know, all the, from volcano to shark, you know, everything, lion. He was looking at everything that God had created in the heavens and the earth. And then he now ask the question, that what is man that you are mindful of him? This word mindful is very powerful, you know, because it says that even though God has created so many things, you know, that are very attractive. Abino, you know, the world is a very attractive place. You know, the world is so attractive that even angels start to come down and start toasting women. You know, it happened though. It happened, you know. Now, when he looks at everything that God has created, he's not saying that, what is man that you are mindful of him? Meaning that in all these things, why are you always thinking about men? Why is it that man is like the center of your attention? Hallelujah. Eh? You know, there's a part in Peter where he was talking about how the things that we understand and the things that we know, even the angels are desiring to look into them. Hallelujah. Meaning your normal Bible study, we are teaching love, forgiveness, Jesus came to die. You know, angels, Jesus did not die for them. Have you now? Huh? Have you now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, angels did not, Jesus did not die for angels, you know. I'm sure Satan will be wondering that, why is it that you died for, you know, another unfair thing? Abi, why is it that you died for men? Me, when I sinned, you didn't forgive me, you didn't restore me. Huh? I'm sure there's one demon somewhere that when I followed this Satan to do, and I did not know. You know, I did not know. Why is it that me self I can't repent? You know. So man has a unique, man is almost like the favorite child of the family. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because you know we all belong to one family, especially us and angels. We're all the family of God's creation. And man is like the special child. It's like that child that is always getting ice cream, you know, that kind of thing. Everything is always going towards that direction. Hallelujah. Huh? If you're that child, you need to have mercy on your siblings. You know, it's not an easy thing to go through. So man is always in the mind of God. And it's not just that he's in the mind of God. God also visits him. So he then says, and the Son of Man that you visit him. And that carries the contemplation further in verse 5. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? So, there's a very interesting thing about this scripture that I don't want to enter into, are you sleeping? No. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Okay. Is it boring? Okay. If it's boring, will you tell me? You tell me. Okay. For you have made eyeline that you really tell me if it's boring. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now, there's a very interesting thing about this scripture. Are you following me? Yeah. There's a very interesting thing about this scripture that the original word used here is Elohim, you know. So, and Elohim is like God. So, technically, what you could say is that the original thing that he was saying is that you have made him a little lower than God. But you see, the translators, at least the story is that the translators, you know, they couldn't dare say that man is a little lower than God because it would scatter the order of the day, you know, because the order of the day then in King James Day was that, you know, it's God that gave me divine right to rule you people. So if you say that man is a little lower than God, that means you're saying that the common peasant is, you know, he has equal access to Godhood than like me. Yeah, so the translator just said, let's just add angels, you know, so that it won't cause too much political chaos, you know. So, anyhow, shall we get the point of the scripture? And you have crowned him with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see here that man is a unique kind of creation. Mirabel, are you following? Okay. That he's a unique kind of creation that has, essentially, man has a very unique place in the mind of God. Are we together? Yeah, he has a very unique place in the mind of God. I was watching your video, so nobody has ever given you an award before. Is someone carrying that they give you first certificate? Wow. Wow. That's powerful. You know. Don't worry, you receive more and more awards. Okay. So, we need to understand this man that is very special to God. Abina. Rose, are you with me? Eh? What did he say? Are you here or you're not here? You're here. But you said you're not here. You said something like that. Right? Okay. Genesis 1. Let's go to Genesis 1. Amen. Genesis 1. From verse 20. So this is the account of creation. Then God said, this TV, can it be on? Okay, please let's turn it on so that I'm not always shifting. But I'm really enjoying myself. I feel the presence of God. You know, really enjoy myself. Thank you, Jesus, for having mercy on me. And then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. 21. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves with the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas. And let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. Now, it says here, let the earth bring forth. Okay, so the material that was used to create animals, or animals were created from the earth. Abby now? Yeah, meaning the body and everything. According to its kind, and it was so. Okay, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So we've seen on the fifth day, what day was that? I can't remember now. But the day before this, God created the animals of the sea. Now on this day, God is creating the animals on the earth. Abi, that's goats, ram, lion, zebra, horse, right? What we now know as those animals, right? And God saw that it was good. And these animals were created from the earth. And God saw that it was good. All right. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God had created the animals in the sea, in the air, in the earth, and everything. And he now said, let us create man in our own image. So the idea for man was not from the earth, if you follow what I'm saying, right? Because he created the animals from the earth. And I said, you guys should be producing after your own kind. Abino, right? Then when it was now turned to create God, he now said, let us make man in our own image. Are we together? Right? So man is created in the image of God. In other words, man was created to reflect God. When we say the image of a thing, what we are talking about is the reflection of a thing. So Jesus is the express image of God. What we mean by that is that you don't need to see God. Once you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So man was also created. I don't want to go too deep into scripture, but that thing that Jesus was the express image of God, that is the overall destiny of man, because that's what God is saying here, that let us make man in our image, right? So the animals are reflective of earth. So a dolphin, for instance, is reflective of the sea that it exists in. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? So in that same way, a man is reflective of God. In other words, God is creating another type of God. Are we together? Eh? That's what it means when he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So he's also intended that this creation will also be behaving like God. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? So that is the fundamental identity of man, that man is the image of God. Amen. That creature, it is designed to be the image of God. Praise God. Now, something interesting happened. Let's go to Genesis 2, verse 7. Very, very interesting. Now, that was, you know, Genesis 1 is Genesis 1 is what happened. Genesis 2 is how it happened, okay? Now, in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says here that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Are we together? Are we together? Now, we'll look at this scripture because this scripture explains perfectly the creature called man. Okay? The first thing that he did was that he formed man from the dust of the ground. Hallelujah. The second thing that he did was that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Abi? And the third thing that happened is that man became a living being. Abi now? So, firstly, he formed man from the dust of the ground. Okay? Meaning that man was formed from the same place that, in terms of his physical form, it was formed from the same earth that the animals were formed from. Abina? Abina? Eh? So this is the reason why evolution is true. And it doesn't contradict Christianity. Because if you look at it from a physical sense, you can say that man came from the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Eh? So if you look at it from the purely natural sense, okay? If you look at it from the purely natural sense, you can make a case, you know, however you want to use any natural scientific explanation for how man came from. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because physically, we're all coming from the same place. So somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ can say, I'm just trying to give you the logical reasoning for someone that is an atheist that says that men are animals. Are we together? Huh? Is this in physics? Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? So if someone doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, and the only thing the person understands is the natural existence of life, the person can say that man is like an animal, like goats. Because physically, the person is not wrong. We're all coming from the same earth. It's the same material that God used. Are we together? That's why even scientifically, you can do some experiments, and you know, people are trying to do experiments on maybe you need liver. Let us do some things on pig, you know, so that we now take the liver from the pig and put it in you. It work. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Am I boring you? Okay. So the exterior, which is the body of man, right? God formed it from the dust of the ground. But you see, the reason why that person that is saying that thing, that man is like a goat, is just an animal, the reason why he's wrong is because what makes man alive is different, is vastly different. Because for you to have a man that is in the image of God. Remember, man is the express image. Man is the image of God. That's the intention. It's Jesus that is the express image of God. But man, the intention of man when God was creating man was that man would act as an image. Abina. So the core material of man has to be the same as God. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Okay. So the core material of man has to be the image of God. The body of a man is just the external area of a man. That's not the core of a man. Because the first thing he did was that he created the body. Okay? So that body was just a body that was lifeless, like another body that is lifeless. Abina. It's like somebody that is dead, for instance, and the body is just there, is just existing. Right? So it was just like a shell of a person. But the core of the person, and I'll explain what I mean, came from the second thing that he did when he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Can we say the breath of life? Can we shout the breath of life? Okay. The breath of life. Are we together? So, as he breathed into man the breath of life, he then became a living being. KJV says he became a living soul, but we'll go into that later. But the first thing is that it is God's breath that gives man life. Are we together? Are we together? So a naturalist, from his own worldview, is not wrong when he says that a man is an animal. But somebody that understands the truth. All right, can we say the truth? Someone that understands the truth understands that man is just not a function of his physical organs. The core of a man is coming from the breath of God. Are we together? So in that sense, even though the external is physical, the internal part of a man is of the same order as God. Are we together? So therefore, men and animals are not the same. Amen. So the first truth is, now let us, you know, this kind of teaching, it is well. I'm avoiding Greek and Hebrew because I don't want to. Should we do Hebrew? Because I'll start giving you some kind of funny words now that I'll be asking you to pronounce. Do you want to pronounce Hebrew words? You know, I've never showed you guys this dimension, Abby. I've been keeping it simple, but today we are going there. All right, so let us look at our first word. Who has a phone? Do you guys have phones? Okay, so I'll need you to do this study with me so that We're in it together. Everybody say we're in it together. Okay. Just, I think it's good, though, so that at least those of you that want to teach Bible, you can see how, you can see it's not just prayer. All right. So let us, I'm coming, please. This word breath, is called neshama. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's called neshama. All right? So now, in with your phone, can you look for, and let me spell neshama. N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H. Right? N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H. So I want you to look for... Is there anyone that doesn't have someone beside them that has a phone? I want everyone to... Both of you don't... If you don't have a phone, can you just come out? Because I want to pay you guys. Just come out quickly. Come out. If you don't have a phone, just come out now. Just come out. Just come out. Let's pair up ourselves. Place people. All right. All right, I don't have time, man. So I just want you guys to just, those of you that have fun, just space yourself. Just space yourself. You don't have data. And you're part of them now. Come out. Because I want us to do this thing together. Yeah, those of you that, just space yourself. Make sure you're spaced out. Just space yourself. So I don't have... Just enter them. Just make sure that you are... Space yourself now, both of you. I said space yourself. Space yourself. So just enter. Just go. Just go. Just go. Just make sure that you're with someone that has a phone with data. Maybe I should add that. Is everyone paired now? Is there anyone that is not paired? Dote, are you paired? Okay. Now you guys are too much. Go to the back or go to maybe you should go and stay with one of the teachers. Teachers. Or you don't want? Hey, if you can't, look for someone now. Just look for someone. If you don't want to stay with one of the team members, you can look for someone. Okay, good. All right. So neshama is N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H. Okay? N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H. Favor, what are you doing there? What are you doing there now? Be awake. Come. You miss. So you need to at least carry your phone. If you want to be awake, carry your phone. So look for the meaning of neshama. Who wants to say the meaning? Who is helping me with the mic, please?
Okay, it means breath, but refers to the soul or spirit of a person, particularly the divine spark of life bestowed by God.
All right, cool. DG, you help me with the mic. Who raised your hand? Rose, you raise your hand, Abby. All right. Let's give Rose the mic. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool.
The word neshama is a Hebrew term that literally means breath or soul.
Breath or soul. All right, cool. All right. Who else raised their hand? All right, one more person. This, not you, this lady.
The Hebrew word neshama literally means breath, but also refers to a person's soul.
Sorry?
The Hebrew word neshama literally means breath, but also refers to a person's soul.
To a person's soul. All right, cool. Ife, what do you want to say? You want to? Okay, all right.
So it is considered the highest aspect of the soul, a unique and inherent connection to the divine that differentiates humans from animals and imbues life with purpose and meaning.
All right, cool. Hallelujah. Amen. So you get a sense of what God did, Abby. So what God was doing is that He was imputing a kind of life into that vessel that he had created. Abby, now, we understand that, Abby? Yeah. So he was breathing into man. So you understand what he says, that when he says that he breathed into man, you understand what he was doing. Abby?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, let us, this word, let's go to Job 32. Let's go to Job 32. Can we show Job 32 verse 8? And I want you to, with your Bible, I want you to ask Google to translate Job 32 verse 8 into Hebrew, right? So that you can see the words that I used here. Job 32 verse 8. Or you can just say it's nefesh, it's neshama in Job 32 verse 8. Now, in Job 32 verse 8, you see, you might see, did anybody see anything called Ruach? You saw Ruach, Abby? All right, cool. Did any other person see anything called Ruach? Any word like that? R-U-A-C-H. All right, cool. Now, say what Ruach is. Say what Ruach is. Say what Ruach is.
Okay, so Ruach means it is the spirit, or it's spirit itself.
All right, cool. So Ruach just means spirit, okay? Any other person? Any other definition of Ruach? What does Ruach mean? Any other person? I said, did you show up me now? Okay, you went out.
Yeah, he went.
He said he went to Lou. Is that what he said?
I said he went.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure I heard you. All right. Any other person? Ruach. What does Ruach mean? All right. Give Chisholm the mic.
The word Ruach can also mean wind or breath.
Yeah. Wind of breath. All right. So in Genesis 1, when he says that the Spirit, don't leave this place. But when he says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, you remember? Abby, you remember now? When he says the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, that was the Elohim Ruach, meaning that was the Ruach of Elohim. Okay? So, Ruach means spirits. It is also identified as wind, or breath. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Because, the very first, one of the forms of the spirit is like wind. Are we now? Are you bored? Okay. Mirabel, are you following? Is it interesting? Okay. Bible study can be interesting, Abby. Abby now, all right. So, when he says that there is a spirit in man, what he's saying is that there is a ruach in man. Hallelujah. And the neshama of the Almighty gives him understanding. Amen. Okay? So, What is he trying to say, really? What he's trying to say is that that neshama gave man two things. It gave him a spirit, which is called the ruach. It also gave him understanding. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Are we together? All right, cool. So there is a spirit in man. So when God breathed into man, he got a spirit. So simply put, God just transferred spirit into man. You know, one of the names of God is that he's the father of spirits, meaning all life comes from him. You know, even demons too. Obviously, they were all created by him. Are we together? Right? So what is that ruach? It's just the core of a person. Okay? So man's core is spirit. Are we together? Yeah? That is his core. It is his spirit. But you will notice that in that Genesis 2, verse 7, man became a living being. Are we together? Yeah? Now, what that living being is that it is a spirit that has understanding, or it is a spirit with a personality. Okay? Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Who man became is that he became a spirit that has a personality. Are we together? So, let's go back to Genesis 2, verse 7. Let's look at it in KJV. KJV. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Okay? So, when he says he's a living being, what he's saying is that he's a nefesh. Okay? That's another word. That's the third word that we're looking at. Nefesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. All right? Nefesh. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? JB, one revelation. One revelation. This is the way. He became a nefesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. All right, so who wants to tell us what the meaning of nefesh is? All right, Favor.
Soul, life, and living being.
All right. Soul, life, and living being. So you see, the people in KJV, they use soul, NKJV people onwards, NIV, every other person prefer to use living being. I'll explain why. Any other person? All right. You okay? Oh.
The living, breathing person and their desires, rather than an immortal, disembodied soul.
All right. Cool. So the living, breathing person and their desires. So we're not talking about a person. All right. You, Sherizan.
It means self.
Self. All right. That's the self. So that is, it's a simple word, but you need to think about it a little bit. It is your sense of self. You know, everybody has their sense of self. I am this person. Your consciousness. What makes you know that you are alive? Are we together? Huh? This is the reason why AI is not alive. Do you get? Because the only thing that can produce nefesh is neshama. Abina? You understand what I'm saying now? So Even if you create a robot and you make it human-like, it's still dead. You're just talking to numbers and calculations and electricity. You get my point, right? So that culmination of a living being is called nefesh. It's called a living soul. So the soul, okay? Now, you need to hear me very well. So man became a living soul, meaning he has a spirit, okay? Because that spirit is the core of life. But then attached to that spirit is a person, meaning the psyche of a person, right? So you could, if I could draw it, you could say that there's the exterior body, then there's the soul, okay? The two main parts of man. Then in that soul, there's not the core of his spirit. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. Sorry, I wish I had, but I'll have drawn it. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the same way you have, if you did biology, now you have amoeba, you have nucleus at the center, then you have the amoeba. You know, that's the easiest one to draw. I mean, okay, some of you have not reached biology yet. That's phase of biology yet. Don't worry, you'll get there, you know. So you have the soul, meaning the soul that's the person. Okay, that's why it is the soul that goes to heaven or hell. When God came to save your soul, meaning God came to save you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So, because that's the person. That's the, what we say, Tunde, Gabriel. What makes Angel Michael, Michael is his soul. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the identity, that's the core identity, right? And it consists of, in that vessel, the life is then the spirit. Praise God. Are you confused? Huh? Is it clear? Is it clear? All right. Does anybody have any questions at this point? You have any questions? God has given us some speed, though. Because this thing, when I was teaching, I was thinking it would be a very long thing, okay? So, what is man, essentially, right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, just very straightforward. I just want to show two things, then we'll go. 1 Thessalonians 5, Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So when you see this now, so clearly this is where we get the sense that there are three parts of the man, right? And I've explained how those three parts are orchestrated in the sense that you have, if you are to look at it from the core outward, what gives you life? The very life you have came from God as your spirit, okay? Now, what gives your life a personality is your soul, right? Then you are then housed as a creature in a body. All of these three things are very important because it's part of the idea of God, of who man is. That is why the form that people have, which is their form currently in heaven, is not the final form. Okay? When you die, for instance, now, this body that you have, your soul will leave it and go to heaven. Abino? Yeah. So you'll then be existing without a body. Okay? Now, eventually, God's idea is that you will get another body. Okay? Because God's idea for man is that he has to be in a body. Okay? So even your physical body is very important because that's the kind of creation that God made. He must have a body. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, that's why heaven currently is a temporary place. You know, people are still coming back to... Don't worry, we'll look at it when we get to the body part. But then you have a life, that's your very life is coming from God. That's the breath of life. And it also comes with the personality. I mean, God didn't give you a person. Now, your spirit is, it has a form, but itself is not a person, obviously, right? If you understand what I've said. When we start talking about the person, we're not talking about the soul. The soul gives that life force a direction. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? It's like the spirit is just like the energy of God. It's the life of God, you know, that is in you. Okay? Or that is the core. Then, for that life to now have direction, they now attached it to a soul. Is that soul that now has a will? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when we are talking about your soul, we are talking about the person. Can we say the person? The person, okay? Meaning the identity that the person has, which consists of your mind, okay? Your will, your character. Are we together? Your emotions and passions and your appetites. Right? So that is what we mean when we say the soul. And to show you that the spirit and the soul are so interwoven, they are so linked. You can't have one without the other. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews that the word of God is like, let's go there. I'll close with that place. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Let us look at it in Amplified. Because you know when you see dividing asunder, you know I think it always confuses people. What do you know about asunder? You know. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person. Do you understand that? They are saying here that the word of God can even get to that place that divides soul and spirit. Meaning it's not easy to divide soul and spirit, but the word of God can get to that place, like surgery. Okay? And of both joints and marrow. Okay? So it's not like, it's like liking it to surgery. You know the way your body is now, like your muscles are interwoven like that, right? So that's how the word of God is that surgical. It can even get to the core of a person, which is when you now want to separate the spirit and the soul. That's why I think we were saying it last week, that what does it mean to be full of the Spirit is to walk in love. Do you understand? Meaning, the fruits of the Spirit are states of the soul. Do you get what I'm saying? In Ephesians, Paul was saying that you should be full of the Spirit. How? Singing, making melody in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, when you are full of the Spirit, in your mind, there will be songs. Do you get what I'm saying? So the state of the spirit is very linked to the state of the soul. That's how close they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's how God created them. They are joined like that. So the complete person is the joining of spirit and soul. That's the completeness of a person. Let's look at that scripture in TPT. This is also the reason why whenever somebody becomes possessed by a spirit, it will affect the mental state of the person. The soul will act up. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. I think we have TPT now. We have to copy. Can anybody just look for in that Bible and read for us? When you're ready, let me know. So why are we teaching? Why am I teaching you this thing? I'm teaching you this thing so that I can prosper, so that you can understand. For instance, the next thing that we'll look at now is you know, because God created your spirit to, you know, that living being is a vessel. Huh? Meaning that even though you have your own spirit, God's intention is that his spirit will possess that spirit. Okay? Are we together? Yeah. And how does he do that? By you opening your heart to him. You know, Jesus was saying that I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will enter. When he's saying, if any man opens, I will enter, what's he saying? What's the practical way that thing happens? When they preach the word of God to you, you agree with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So what you agree to in your mind will expose you to either the Holy Spirit or to demons. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So the soul is a window. That's why they say guard the heart with all diligence, right? Because it is the window into the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God's idea is that he, because you are a vessel, and a very powerful vessel, you know, at the point in time, the demons in a person were too much that only one person had to respond. You know, that's when he went to meet the madman of Gadara. He said, how many are you? He said, we are legion. You know, we are plenty. Okay? So, a man can house 1,000 demons. And all of them will be there. You know. So, you're a very powerful vessel. But anyway, we'll look at that later on. She hasn't read anything. Let her read. Let's be inclusive. You know. Is this it? All right. And you can read. You can still read.
For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motive of our heart.
Hallelujah. So the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. Amen. Amen. All right. So I think we've just laid a good foundation. Next week we'll continue. So we'll then be talking about how to prosper in the soul, right? That's all we'll start off from next week, because everything that's going to happen in the spirit is going to happen as a result of what is happening in the soul, okay? Because it is the soul that gives direction to the core. Do you understand? Salvation happens from the soul. Demonic possession happens from the soul. Okay? That's why, you know, some how will I put it? I was listening to some deliverance ministers, and they were saying that, look, the kind of manifestation that they are seeing these days is different from back in the day. Back in the day, for you to contact demon, you had to go and visit one Baba. You know, that's how you contact demon. Now, they are casting out demons from people that have not, that have never done anything occultic, you know? And the reason is that even witchcraft has upgraded. It's not on social media. So you don't even need to visit Baba. Once you receive some things inside, some demons will start operating, you know? All these guys that shoot people in America, that's what happens to them. It's demonic possession. A demon will just possess them. And it's online. All of them are always online. Yes, always online. Always online, debating men and women. You know, these debates that have been online. Yeah. So look at how to prosper in the soul. How do you make the soul strong so that you can be prosperous as a man? And then also, how do you focus on the body as well? Amen. All right, we thank the Lord. Did you have fun? Was this Bible study interesting? Yes. We thank God. Don't go and oppress people in your glory home and say that they taught you Neshama today.